Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
Thank you for being here tonight. This time of year, I find myself always wanting to encourage graduates. I just do. There are graduates from kindergarten. I mean, everybody's graduating from the year in school they were going to the next. And so what they're saying is we have completed, we finished this part of our life. And I always tell our graduates that you've got to know that you will graduate from other things in your life. You'll always be working towards a completion. And I think that if we understand that from a Christian realm, we'd be better off. In life, I was going to talk about this, but I think I can just cover it in a couple of sentences. Sanctification and justification. You're as right as you'll ever be with God when you ask Him into your heart and life. So you are justified because of Jesus. But you spend your entire life working on your sanctification. You're working on being in right state. You're working and you're seeking out His will for your life and His plan according to the Word. And so as you're going there and you're continually working towards that, what I tell our graduates and what I tell Christian people is there is a decision to be made every day. And I don't know, but sometimes I just in my mind I go, decisions. Oh, can someone just make a decision? Let's make a decision. But sometimes it's not just a decision on where we're going to go eat. It's where we're going to go on vacation. It's who's driving who where. Who's driving tonight? A decision on what job am I going to stay in? Am I going to work here the rest of my life? It's a decision that you're making in things in the natural. Now, obviously, you decided to follow Jesus. And so therefore you are justified, and in that decision of making Jesus your Lord and Savior, you have submitted your life to Him, and in that you have an opportunity to make decisions based on His involvement in your life. If you will seek Him on a daily basis and allow Him to do that. See, life is a series of decisions that have to be made. And as an adult, and I tell our seniors this, you're getting ready to have to make some bigger decisions. Before graduation, you get a few on your own, but for the most part, your decisions have to be ran by mom and dad. And they have to okay everything. But there comes a place where now you're going to have to make this decision because you're an adult. And I don't know if I want to. And you know, you find yourself with some personalities and some young people, and there's personality differences. I get all of this. But some of them don't want to make a decision. And the parents are going, they got to make a decision here. And so the parents still make a decision for their kids, and they're 45 years old, and the parents still making every one of their decisions. That's not the way God intended it. He intended for you at some point to make a decision and to then let that decision be based on what God has spoken to your heart and life. So here's the sad part. And the reason why they don't want to is because after you make them, you're going to live in the blessing of that decision or the frustration of that decision. And there's a lot of people at 40 years old that look back and go, I wish I'd have made a different decision at 19. Now, I'm not here to address that tonight. What I'm telling you is the most important thing you can do is to make the right decision. Decisions. Now, in life, you'll be okay as long as the right decision is made because there's fruit from a right decision. And most of our problems come from making a wrong decision. Now, I'm not talking about decisions tonight on the difference between sin and not sin issues. We'll make sure we understand that. Obviously, if you choose sin, your consequence is based on a sin. But there are decisions on who you're going to marry. There's a decision on how you're going to raise your kids. There's a decision on what house you're going to live in, what car you're going to live in, how you're going to pay, what you're going to pay on bills and what you're going to take in, what kind of phone you're going to carry. I mean, there's Android or there's Apple. You've made the wrong decision if you carry Android. If you're an Apple person. But if you're an Android person, you've made the wrong decision if you carry an Apple, right? I mean, there's all these decisions, and somebody's wrong all the time. Those aren't really what I'm talking about either. I'm talking about life decisions that are going to affect where you end up in 5 years, in 10 years. So most of our problems come from making a wrong decision. And many of us here today, we have paid high prices for decisions we've made. Some of them have been good. Some of them haven't been so good. And here, but we've paid a price. And some of that price that we paid worked out all right. Some of them, the price we paid, we wish that we'd have never had to pay that. It cost us way more than we wanted to just because of a wrong decision. And so let's dive into some of this tonight. But I want you to know I just felt led to have a real practical message that I would have shared tomorrow morning at chapel, but I wasn't asked to speak at chapel tomorrow. And I'm not bitter about it in any way, shape, or form. I spoke last week. You don't get two in a row there. So this was what I was going to talk about, but I ran out of time last week. Many of us here are enjoying life's blessing because we understand that life has required a lot of right decisions and that has required us to not make the wrong ones. Psalm 119, 105, your word, God, is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. Everybody's heard that scripture, and I don't know. I'm just so practical. Sometimes I got to go, why did it say light and lamp? Don't both of them do the same thing? I mean, why does it have light and lamp? Because they both provide the ability to see. Well, it's specifically talking about a lamp for guiding steps and a light for path. See, a light allows you to see. If I have a light and I direct it, and I do this because I'm into different kinds of lights. I just really am. I have a whole lot of different lights. And I've got a couple that you can narrow in. And I mean, I can shoot all the way to that back door. And if it was dark in here, you could see a fly on that back wall with his light. You can gear it right down to. But the problem is you can see all the way down there, but you can't see what's right in front of you that you're getting ready to step on because that light's illuminating something in the distance, whereas if I'm carrying a lamp, then I can't see way down there, but I can see right here where I'm getting ready to walk. And so a lamp guides your steps where you're headed, but a light gives you vision, gives you direction. Make sure that as you're walking, you're not just walking and you're in Florida and you're headed to California and you find yourself in New York. You're like, man, how did I get here? You're only looking through a lamp. Yeah, you're not stumbled over anything, but you're not going where you should have ended up. See, there's got to be a light that's got. Now, here's the thing that's cool. The Word does both of those things. The Word has to be a light, and it has to be a lamp. If you don't hear anything else I said, that's what I'm going to talk about for the next 15, 20 minutes. So, but that's the main thing of my message tonight, because Proverbs is real clear about paths all over. Paths before each person that seems right in Proverbs 14, 12, 16, 25. There's a path that seems right, but in the end is death. Well, that path means you've not illuminated correctly. You've just used a lamp. And you've used the Word for a lamp, and you're not messing up in your steps, but your decisions aren't taking you where you want to end up. And it's not that you've fallen into sin, but you're spinning out. You're in the same area for years. And you should have been way in a different. You needed to quit going to mom and dad for every decision at your age. You know, you need to be going to the Word and the Word. See, there's a transfer that takes place. Can you imagine if I'm talking to seniors what I'd be talking about right now? Don't just put this on the life of a senior. How can this apply to my life? But as a senior, you've got to know, I'm not saying forsake mom and dad's teachings and their counsel and not go to them, but what I'm saying is you're going to have to start making decisions based on the Word of God for your own life, and then mom and dad can attaboy you, or Good job. That's great. That's the right thing to do. And you've got to know how to make those. So I just thought tonight would be a great time to talk about that. We're right in the middle of May. We've got a lot of people graduating. And we've got some of us heading into a different season. Right now in our country, we're headed into a different season. I've never seen a time where 60 to 70% of some of the states in our country don't have gasoline. I never thought I'd be talking about it. There's no gas at some of the pumps. What in the world? What's going on? Well, it's a computer glitch. I'm not here to sit here and put a big scare tactic on anyone because I'm not led by a government. You better watch out. And you're not being led by the right lamp and light, the Word of God. Before long, you're freaking out about everything that's going on in our country. 1,000 missiles into Israel over the last 24 hours from Hamas. What? We better be praying for Israel. I just like what the prime minister over there had to say about it. He thanked them for uniting them. Hamas, thank you. We appreciate because you have united the Jews in a way we've never been united before. And I thought, I don't know if I'd have put it that way. But when he did, I thought, what's going on in the United States of America right now? This should be uniting the children of God like nothing ever we've seen before. Yes, there's missiles going on over here, but what's happening in our country? I'm not a doomsdayer. What I am is I am a hallelujah. God has us in his and our best interest at heart. So what decisions are we going to make based on what's going on in the world? Here's the decisions we're going to make. We're going to make them based on the Word of God. That's what we're going to do. So what decision are we going to make? You don't stumble where you are as long as you have your lamp on. You don't have to stumble where you are. You need your lamp on. If you stumble where you are, your Word of God's not affecting how you're living today. If you end up not where you want to be, then the Word of God wasn't affecting where you're going to end up. So, the Word of God's important. Don't stray from the Bible. I'm telling you, if you do, you'll be years in trying to get out of the bonehead decision you just made. Because we make bad decisions when we're outside of the Word. I see good kids over the last 15, 20 years all the time have one moment where they leave the Bible, they leave the teaching, they do something really ignorant because they weren't lined up with the lamp and the light of the Word of God, and they were good. They were doing good. They were in a good direction. And now their path is corrupted and they're frustrated because they left the Word. And when they left the Word, they made a wrong decision. When they made a wrong decision, they find themselves in a place I didn't want to be here in life. And the problem with that is the enemy then blames the church. They blame Christianity. They blame God and all that. And so they're out here. And the only thing that would get them back into a right standing would be the Word of God. But they've left it. They've just said, I'm not operating according to that light. That's not going to illuminate my path, and it's not going to give me vision. And when the Word of God doesn't give you vision for today and for the future, you've got a problem. And I want to talk about right decisions. All right decisions come from a right perspective. When you begin with it, all right decisions come from a right perspective. So the Word of God, you can't get a right decision in life until the Word of God is your perspective. If the Word of God is not your perspective, you got a problem. We're all aware of what coming to something with the wrong perspective can do. You don't build a skyscraper. You don't build a house. You don't build any of that on a shaky foundation. You shouldn't make a decision on a shaky foundation. The Word of God isn't shaky. It's solid. It's clear. It's solid, and you can build on it. The foundation for a right decision cannot be made without the Word of God. Now, here's the problem. A lot of times we make a decision and we don't consult the Word at all. Well, this wasn't a decision based on sin, or that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about God has a way in your life to illuminate your path. And your path don't look like mine. Well, aren't we both Christians? Yeah, we're both going to end up in heaven, but that doesn't mean we're both going to be at the same job. We both are doing the same thing, and you ain't marrying my wife. See, you married somebody else, so I don't know what to tell you. My wife don't act like yours. I wasn't putting yours down. I wasn't putting mine down. They're just different. So it's a different path. It's a different, see that, now in the end, we're going to end up in heaven. We're going to experience eternity together. But I'm just telling you, people haven't faced the problems my wife and I have. And some of you have had some similar. And I haven't faced the problems you've had. See, everybody has a, now there are tools that can help all of us. I get all of that. But the problem that we get into is we think that I can be illuminated based on someone else's light. The word's the same, but it's a light for your path. That's based on your giftings. That's based on your calling. Not everybody's here called to be pastor. See, there's a calling and a gifting that God has placed into people, and it's irrevocable, the Bible says. So he's going to illuminate a path for you and steps where you're at. Something happens, a decision presents itself, and you're faced with this decision. And here's the thing. The decision that's made you aware that has to be made was made because you got mad about something. Now, I'm just talking about life. You're mad. Well, you can know if you're mad, your foundation or your base is already started off wrong. I didn't say it's a sin to be mad, but you don't need to make a decision in your anger. See, right now you're jealous, and you can't make a correct decision on being jealous. A lot of marriages get in trouble because decisions are made in the heat of jealousy. Right now you're hurt. You're deeply wounded. You've been treated wrong. There's no doubt. You are offended because of what someone else has done or because of the way you were treated, and you're making a decision based on that. You can know your foundation's wrong. What I'm telling you is, if your emotions, and there, your emotion may lead you to a point where you have to make a decision, but you better get your foundation right before the decision's made. See, the anger can't be the reason. The hurt can't be. You're desiring to be accepted. Careful, you're coming to a decision from the wrong perspective. The word of God has to be your decision maker. Now, the mature person in Christ will say, I'm mad right now. I'm going to wait till I can think clearly, and then I'm going to make a decision. I understand that I've got to make a decision. Have you heard of the organization Mothers Against Drunk Driving? A lot of people have heard that. You know how that started? It started with somebody being mad. But if you read the whole story, they just said, I'm not going to let this make me mad anymore. I'm going to make some decisions. Now, they didn't make it in anger. They just, every time I turn the corner, I get mad because I hear about another incident with a drunk driver. I'm going to take care of something. And so then I'm doing something about it. That's not going to send me into that emotion anymore. So what you did is you use the emotion as something to say, I've got to make a decision because I can't keep going here. So then when you have a correct foundation, you go to the word, and the word then illuminates. Are you hearing that? I just want to make sure we're on the same page here. To have a proper perspective on what to do, you can't let a boiling mad attitude take you to the next step. The Bible has to take you. The Word of God illuminates the step. So you just got to go right to Proverbs and go, okay, that makes sense to me. The mature knows when they are not dealing with what is wrong with them in the flesh, and they're doing it based on a decision from the word. It's why so many are making wrong decisions. They're basing that all on emotion. And I want to be careful that emotions don't make our decisions. The proper perspective to begin with is the word of God, which is the light. I want to share 10 questions you can ask yourself tonight. Just a quick 1, 2, 3 through 10. You go, oh man. Well, I won't spend a lot of time on each one, so here we go. The first question, what biblical principles should inform my decision? What biblical principles should inform my decision? If you've got to have your decision illuminated by the word, you know, Proverbs is so good about illuminating things for us and giving us the ability to make decisions based on the word of God. Proverbs 2:6, the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. So we need to ask God, God, what is your knowledge on this subject? Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with your heart, all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll make your paths straight. How is he going to make my path straight? He just did. That was the word illuminating a straight path. It gave me vision, direction, and told me what I don't need to stumble over. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Is this decision going to bring God glory? Just some quick verses that will really help you determine, is this a biblical principle and how I'm looking at this? 2 Corinthians 6:14, big one. Don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Is this decision sending you into a life with unbelievers? I'm not saying that we don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers where you've got to fold your beliefs into theirs. Don't be unequally yoked with them. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness? It's a big deal. So you've got to ask yourself, well, should I take this job? All right, I can be a light here, but I've got to make sure that I'm not folding my beliefs as I'm going on this path, because they're going to try to bring darkness to the lamp that is guiding my path. Proverbs 22:7, the rich rules over the poor and the borrower becomes the lender's slave. The lender's slave. The rich rules over the poor and the borrower becomes the lender's slave. As much as you'd like to be frustrated at people who have a lot of money, what I can tell you is the Bible says the rich rule over the poor. Oh, I don't like that. Well, all I can tell you is just be someone who has the most wealth. Now, obviously we always take this and we go to it from a financial standpoint. I'm talking about the wealth of the knowledge that comes from the Word of God. So you can always just take that and put money behind it. That's not what I'm talking about. The people who have the most, to him who have, will more be given. Be a haver. You need knowledge because someone's need knowledge in your job. Be the one with the most knowledge. Well, I don't know how I can do that. We'll go home and get some more. See, get the Word of God so full of you that you're using wisdom, which all comes from God. Well, let's get with God, because the rich rules over the poor and the borrower becomes the lender's slave. What you can know is you can give so much that people feel like they're indebted to you. How does that happen? By you having the wealth of knowledge. You having the most information. Now, understand that this also can go with money, and with it being money, be careful about being too enslaved. Be too in debt. I'm not getting into a bunch of stuff with debt, but my goal for years has to stay out of debt. And so that's been a goal that I encourage everybody. Get out of debt. Get out of debt. As quick as you can get out of debt. I understand some debt's necessary in certain situations, but get out of it as quick as you can. Because the borrower becomes the lender's slave. And I don't want I want my name being under slave. That's not what I want defining me. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good rapport or good repute, if there's any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Are you giving God praise before the decision's made? What are you dwelling on? I mean, I've got to have the Word make a difference. So what does the Bible have to say about this decision? What can help me better understand that God's Word has some things to say about what I'm getting ready to do? Make sure that you're not the only one holding to your interpretation. Let me just stop there for a moment. Make sure you're not the only one holding your interpretation. I got to witness to a gentleman this week. Found it very interesting, and I really hope he listens to this podcast. Here's what he said. He goes, I'm not much of a religious person. Now, I believe in God and I believe in the Bible. And I said, okay, I get that. Religion is those man's approach to God. So are you a Christian? That's the question. Because God has reached out to you. He goes, well, yeah. He goes, I believe what Jesus did. Oh, okay, good. So I've kind of established some of that. But here's where we went on. We went on and we're just talking. And he went on to say, you know, there's a verse in Scripture, and my mom gets on me all the time about, you need to go to church, and you need to be more living by the Word, and you need, and he said, I come back with one Scripture to her all the time, and I just tell her, the Bible's real clear. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That means it's for me to work out and not you, Mom. I said, you're right. You better work it out, though. I said, what else does it say around that? He said, I don't know. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Where's that at? I don't know. I said, well, you're right. It's in there. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I said, what kind of fear and trembling have you done lately? Well, it's just my responsibility. I said, but you don't seem like you're fearing and trembling much. You seem pretty stuck on you being right here. I said, I believe the tree in the garden represented a choice. And I said, all I can tell you is salvation right there is work out your own. You better work out the choice of salvation. And so we're sitting there, and he's stuck in a car with me for just a little bit. And I'm just sitting here, and I know he's just starting to go, I wish you'd never opened it. He's the one that started the whole conversation. And here's what I'm doing. I'm just praying the Lord that I would be soft enough that I could introduce him to someone who wants a relationship with him. Now, I'm not done in this conversation. We're going to continue it on. He ends up being from Louisiana. And go figure, we're having a crawfish boil this Saturday. Had something to talk to him about. So I said, you ought to come up this Saturday. Well, I'm going to call him again. I'm going to stay on him. My prayer is, now he lives in Neosho. He's probably not going to come to church here. But we kind of hit it off, and we got to talk about the word for a while, and I was able just to love on him. And I said, man, listen, you are a redneck hillbilly. You need to meet the people in our church. That's who we are. Just trying to. See, he had an interpretation that he was holding on to. And I want you to know, if you are trying to find something in Scripture and you're just holding on to it, make sure that it lines up. Did I make that point? All right, number two. Oh, God. We may not get them all, but I'm going to get as many. Do we have all the facts? Do I have all the facts? Proverbs 18:13. He who gives an answer before he hears, it's folly and shame to him. I know that I have said this, and it happens to me all the time. I start answering a question before they ask the whole. My wife's going to preach it. I'm not even looking at her again. I'm admitting fault from right here. I'm trying to get better at that. But it's like I know what they're asking. I know what they're going to say. And so I give the answer before. Come on, can anybody here with me? Or am I the only? Okay, thank you, front row. I appreciate it. The other two communicators of the word, they know everything. Do I have all the facts? I just wanted my wife to see I'm not the only one. Proverbs 18:13. He who gives an answer before he hears, the Bible says it's folly and shame to him, and I have experienced folly and shame. Do I have all the facts? It's a good question to ask yourself. Proverbs 18:17 says, the first to plead his case seems right until another comes and examines him. Always know there's two sides to every story. If you're making a decision, you need to know there's another side to this story. Ask a lot of questions. Instead of just answering every one of them and knowing the right answer, just ask a lot of questions and listen. Listen. Seek first to understand and then be understood. Don't fall prey to wishful thinking. Let emotions get the best of you. Don't want a specific answer more than you want the facts. See, I'm looking for a specific answer, so I don't really care about the facts. One thing that I have found over the years is people come and ask advice, and then when you give it, it wasn't the advice they wanted. They really didn't want advice. They just wanted somebody to agree with them. Remember, there are two sides. There are two sides. Number three, is the pressure of time forcing me to make a premature decision? Is the pressure of time forcing me to make a premature decision? Let me just give you a quick story with that in two words, car buying. Car buying. If you're going to buy a car, don't let the pressure of the salesman's time force you into a premature decision. There's just some things that with decisions you've got to know. Proverbs 19:2, enthusiasm without knowledge is no good. Haste makes mistakes. Haste, making a quick decision now can cost you. Proverbs 21:5, the plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage, but everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty. Beware of the once-in-a-lifetime deals. and the lure of instant gratification. Don't let the fear of missing out drive your decision. Well, if I don't make this right now, I'm going to miss out. No, the fact is you are going to miss out. But it's not you're going to miss out on what you think you're missing out on. You're going to miss out on what you could have had if you hadn't had that payment. You're going to miss out on what you could have had you not made a decision that then cost you for years. When in doubt, leave it out. When in doubt, leave it out. Just some little one, two, three here. Number four, what possible motives are driving my decision? Proverbs 16:2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives. Guns are a good investment.
Yes. Yes.
Oh. There's a different motive for any man who says that. It didn't make the first one a lie. It's just always know the motive behind a decision. And this wasn't for wives towards husbands. All the ways of a man are clean in his own sight. That means everything I'm doing, I can have a good excuse for doing it. And I've always had one. But don't use that verse against me. Here's what you can know. I'm not preaching to you, babe. All the ways of a man are clean in his own sight. What I'm saying is you'll see it in your own way as being clean and pure. I don't have a wrong heart here. But you got to read the second part of that. Let the Lord weigh your motive. Sometimes he speaks through your wife. Amen. I'm going on so every man don't hate me. Proverbs 29, who can say I have cleansed my heart, I am pure from my sin? You only can if you've accepted Jesus. Acknowledge that you have blind spots. Honestly assess your own motives, both good and bad, and give others permission to speak into your life. I'm going on. Number five, how should past experiences inform my decision? Another question to ask. Before I make this, how should past experiences inform my decision? Proverbs 26:11, a dog returns to its vomit. And it represents a fool who repeats his folly. If you've already failed in that, you're no different than that dog returning to their vomit. Don't make the same mistake twice. I understand once, but why do you keep doing that? Proverbs 17:10, a rebuke goes deeper into one who is understanding than 100 blows into a fool. At some point, we got to be people of understanding. Look for patterns of behavior, triggers, if you will, things that kind of set off, oh, man, I don't need to go down this road. Understand how your family background might affect your thinking. Learn from your mistakes. There's so much here. Number six, what is the collective counsel of my personal community? What's the collective counsel of my personal community? Well, what's my personal community? My personal community is the areas that I have in my life where I see someone who has fruit in an area of life that looks similar to what I'm looking at heading towards. Do they have fruit there? And the second one is, I know that this person in my personal community cares about me and the decision I'm making. So here's how I define who is in my personal community. One is they have fruit in the area that I'm looking at making a decision in. The other one is that they care about the decision I make. See, they care about me. So they don't want me to make a bad decision. Those who have seen someone's fruit in someone's life, I'm quick to go ask for help. There are things at the church all the time that I have seen the wisdom of other people here. The reason why I like to use people in the church to do the work of the church is because I know they care about the church. They care about, they're part of this personal community. They care about it. The other thing is they have fruit in that area. So I want them making it because I've seen the fruit in their lives or someone else in their area of the church and leadership have seen that. Proverbs 11:14, where there is no guidance, the people fall, but in abundance of counselors, there is victory. Proverbs 18:1, he who separates himself seeks his own desire. Well, that's a big one. Hear that. To the person who separates himself seeks his own desire. And he quarrels against sound wisdom. Know this. Wisdom is not always the separation of a right decision based on sin or no sin. Sometimes it's based on vision and where this is going to take you. So if you're quarreling about what someone who loves you is trying to give you wisdom to see you in a different place in years, then the Bible says you're separating yourself and you're not going to end up where you could have been. See, that was light for you. And so there's a big thing. Proverbs 18:2, a fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind. All he wants to do is what's in his mind. He doesn't want to hear anybody else's suggestion, even for people who love him. Avoid having many separate conversations. Recognize the difference between selling your point or sharing your point. Recognize the difference here. Know when to open the circle and seek counsel outside of just your own mind. Open the circle. Number 7, making a decision here. Have I honestly considered the warning signs? Warning signs, I use this word a lot, red flags. What is a red flag? I want to address every red flag before I make a decision. So there's warning signs in every decision. It doesn't mean you're not going to make that decision to go ahead and go forward or do something, but you better address the red flags that have been put there. I need to know what those are. Proverbs 10:17. He is on the path of life who heeds instruction, but he who forsakes reproof goes astray. Proverbs 16:25. There's a way which seems right, but in the end is death. I got to know that that verse is real. Boy, this seems like a good decision, but it's going to kill me. I don't want to use that word. The Bible used it. It's going to kill what could have been. You could have had life in that decision, and you produced death in it. Have I honestly considered all of the warning signs? Don't think that you are the exception to the rule. Everybody else had warning signs and they didn't do it, but you're going to do it. Remember, God's way is always the best way. We'll get to more of that. Number 8, have I considered the possible outcomes of my course of action? Have I considered the outcomes? What are the outcomes? If any of you sat in Hannah's class as she was teaching some of the principles of Covey, one of the greatest things is consider the end from the beginning. You know, keep the end in mind. Always know that there is going to be an end to your decision. What did that end, what did that outcome, what did you perceive it being? Or did you have a light that was shooting far enough to see that insect on the bow? That's what the word does. So Proverbs 14:1, the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish tears it down with her own hands. Proverbs 14:15, the naive believes everything, but the prudent man considers steps, vision. Proverbs 27:12, a prudent man sees evil and hides himself. The naive proceed and pay the penalty. Here's an easy way. Do the long math. Do the long math. Access the potential risks. I understand right now what happened with Bitcoin. Just talking the natural. You better, if you're investing in some of this cryptocurrency, I think it's cool. Watch it every 5 minutes. Well, why? Because we don't have a path that we can shoot all the way back here. You better be watching your steps immediate. You better be real. See, there's some things. Now, I'm not here putting anything down. I've got to consider possible outcomes. Possible outcomes is you're going to lose I'm only going to lose $50, a couple hundred. Well, that's fine. That's kind of fun to see where you head up. I mean, investments are fun. I get that. But be careful that you're considering the outcome. Is this going to hurt your family? Now, for those of you that I know that have done that, I know it's not. So don't think I'm talking to you. I'm not. I'm just saying, you got to be understanding that there is a lot of outcomes that people have fallen in 2008 that hurt their whole family. Lost businesses, lost homes, a lot of things that happened. And we're now, you know, 12, 13 years past that, and I don't know what's going on in our world right now. You better make sure God's illuminated your path and not what an investor has said. You better make sure you have a peace from God on what you're doing and where you're headed and what's going on. Do the long math. Access the risks. Have a contingency plan. I'm not going into a lot of that one. You can go wherever you want with it. Number 9, could this decision jeopardize my integrity or hinder my witness for the Lord? Proverbs 25, verse 26. Like a trampled spring and a polluted well is a righteous man who gives way before the wicked. He who walks in integrity, in Proverbs 10:9, says, if you walk in integrity, you walk securely. But he who perverts his ways will be found out. Proverbs 27, a righteous man who walks in his integrity, how blessed are his sons after him. Come on, if we want generations after us to be blessed, our generation, our seed, if we want that to be the case, you've got to understand that we've got to be the people who start walking in integrity. That'll bless your kids' kids. Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is to be more desired than great riches. Favor is better than silver or gold. So, is this decision jeopardizing your name? Is this decision jeopardizing the cause of Christ? It's just a real easy one. By you making this decision, how's this going to affect the kingdom? Ask yourself, and I've done this a lot in the position that God has placed me in my life in a lot of different areas. Would this pass the newspaper test? What do you mean by that? If this decision shows up on national news, am I like, yep, that was me. Praise God. Or if that shows up in the newspaper, am I going, yeah, but you don't understand the whole picture. I'm trying to squirm my way. Does this pass the newspaper test? Just a good question to ask yourself. Keep short accounts. Keep short accounts. Last one in number 10. I made it. Got 1 minute. Is there a better option that would allow me to make a greater impact for God's kingdom? Before I make a decision, I'm always asking, okay, what was another decision that I could make that might make a better impact for the kingdom? Just make a better impact. If I'm going to do this, or if I'm going to make this decision, a lot of decisions are there's A, B, C, and D. And what you do in your mind is you go, well, this is a good decision, but this is a better one, and this is the best. What makes the best decision the best? I can always tell you it's when you have went through all 10 of these questions based on the Word of God. And the last one is the most important. Is C the best decision, or would A have impacted the kingdom better? Boy, that's a big one. Which one's going to impact the kingdom more? I've watched a lot of people make decisions that aren't impacting the kingdom like they would have made if they'd have stayed with this decision or if they would have made this decision. It impacts. So you got to always ask that. Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he who is wise wins souls. He who is wise wins right thinking, will, and emotions. They put people into a different place. They disciple them. They win them to a different way. I'm just saying right now that's what our world needs. And the only hope they have is a bunch of God's people illuminating their paths with a lamp and a light. Y'all stand with me this evening.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.